All right, so open your Bibles to Psalm number 38. Psalm number 38. So, sa heading, the inspired heading, instructs us that this is a Psalm of David, part of verse number one. When you read the book of Psalm, there are headings. Some of the Psalms have headings, especially in book number one. There are headings, and those headings are inspired. They are part of the Word of God. So you don't want to read Psalm 38 and begin with, "O Lord, rebuke me not in thine wrath." You want to begin at a Psalm of David to bring to remembrance, "O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath." Because the inspired heading is part of the text, the Word of God. It's not put there by an editor. It's not put there by a translator. That is part of the Word of God. So, Psalm 38, a Psalm of David to bring to remembrance. So, if we turn, let me get my notes here. If we turn, for example, to 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Magsimula tayo dyan sa 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 4. Merong tatlong uri ng mga awit. At yung tatlong uri ng mga awit, isa dito yung tinatawag na pagpapasaalaala. There are three kinds of psalms that David appointed to be used in the worship in this hymn book. Don't forget, the book of Psalms is a hymn book, and it's also a H-I-M hymn book. All right, so not only is this the song book, the hymn book of Israel, but it's also the hymn book. It points to Jesus. And David appointed three kinds of psalms, and you can find this in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 4. 1 Chronicles 16, verse number 4 says, "And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord," here it is, "to record and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel." Those are the three types or three purposes of Psalms. And one of them is to record or to remember. It's the Hebrew word hakar or zakar in the Hebrew. So there's the zakar psalm, to record or to remember. And the other ones are to thank, and the other ones are to praise, the hallelujah psalms, the recording psalms, the remembering psalms, the psalms to remember, to record. The Psalms of thanksgiving, to thank, and the Psalms to praise or to worship Jehovah God. And so, three types of Psalms or three kinds of Psalms. And Psalm 38, as it says in the heading, a Psalm of David to bring to remembrance, to record, or to record, record. So, anyway, that is Psalm 38. It fulfills the purpose of bringing to remembrance, but bringing to whose remembrance? Not bringing it to our remembrance, bringing it to God's remembrance. In Psalm 38, David is going to God in prayer and asking God to look at his situation and to intervene in his situation. Prayer is so vitally important. Prayer. Why is prayer so important? You know, because prayer prayer invites God into our helplessness. We have no strength. We have no power. We look to God. We look to the Lord. David looks to the Lord. Imagine that, a king, a wealthy, powerful ruler, a military commander, a leader, completely powerless, without strength, plagued by sin, plagued by sickness, no strength in him. And so he goes to God and says, Lord, remember me. And so a Psalm of David to bring to remembrance. We go to God when we're sick. We go to God when we have problems and trouble. When we are helpless and we pray, we invite God into our helplessness. And here in Psalm 38, David is going to God and asking God to help him in his physical sickness. So let's, with the surge of the virus, I think this would be a proper psalm to bring to God's remembrance. Lord, remember your mercy. Lord, remember your loving kindness towards us. And have mercy on us and cleanse us. That should be our prayer. And we ought to trust in the Lord. We don't put our trust in man. We certainly don't put our trust in experiments. And we don't put our trust in government mandates and that kind of stuff. We put our trust in the Lord. Lord, you are the healer, not man. Now you give man wisdom and insight and you give man capacity and skill. That all comes from God. And God uses good doctors and God uses good science and that kind of stuff. ultimately, we put our trust in the Lord. And so David brings us to this in Psalm 38, the prayer of a sick man, the prayer of a sick man. But so David laments over his sin. David is sorry for his sin. And in this psalm, no doubt, sin brought sickness to David's life. Okay? Kaya nagpe-pray si David ng kapatawaran sa Diyos dahil ang kanyang sakit ay dulot ng kanyang kasalanan na tinatago niya noon, nung kapanahunan. Naalala ba ninyo sa 2 Samuel chapter 11, yung kasalanan ni David kay Uriah at saka kay Bathsheba? Na tinago ni David yung kanyang pangangalo niya. His adultery with Bathsheba, his conspiracy and murder, ultimately murder, drunkenness, murder with Uriah. His deceitfulness against Uriah, his murdering of Uriah and his sin, his adultery sin with Bathsheba. You remember that in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Well, sin has consequences. Sin always brings sorrow. And David reflects upon that. And he writes about that in Psalm 38. He did not want to hide sin. See, when you're truly sorry and repentant about your sin, you don't hide your sin. You face up to the consequences of sin, and a truly repentant person will confess and forsake that sin. And David did. David confessed that sin and forsook that sin. But there are always consequences to sin, and sickness and disease is another consequence of sin. And I'm not saying that if you are sick, you are in sin. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is sickness is a side effect, a consequence of sin. We sin, we get sick, we die because of the effects of sin upon our lives. And even though we are born again and saved, we still have the law of sin residing in our flesh, in our body. And eventually, we will all, you know, if the Lord doesn't return and rapture us, we will all be appointed unto death, the Bible says. There's going to be one generation of Christians who will not be appointed unto death. They'll not experience physical death. God will rapture them up to be with the Lord and join all the other resurrected saints. However, if that's our generation, amen. I look forward to that and pray for that end. But the reality is, if Jesus doesn't rapture us, we will face death someday, and we don't know when that is. But it's coming. It's on its way. And it has claimed so far everyone. And it's coming. And it's a result, a part of sin, the curse of sin. And so David here is praying, again, the prayer of a sick man. Psalm 38, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. And then it's broken into three sections. Eto yung outline natin. Here's the section, the three sections of Psalm 38. And it reminds us of a ascension. All right, so I know that our points in English, our points go down. Here, this is a progression, okay? And it's an introversion, an alternation, an ascend. It goes up. And so anyway, three sections. You can divide Psalm 38. You can divide it in verses number 1 to 8, verses number 1 to 8, and it opens with, O Lord, O Jehovah. And then verse number 9 to 14, verses number 9 to 14, it opens with Lord Adonai. And then it concludes with verse number 15, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope, thou wilt hear, O Lord my God, Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, O Lord my God. So there's a progression. David begins with Jehovah, then Adonai, and then Jehovah Elohim in his prayer towards God as he ascends to the Lord, as he brings his trouble to God, he brings his helplessness to God, and he looks forward to who God is. He reflects on how powerful God is, and he invites God into his helplessness. And that's what we should be doing as Christians. When we face sickness, when we face problems, we take them to the Lord in prayer, and we cast it before him, casting our care before him, for he careth for us. These Psalm 38, Psalm 39 are communion psalms, bringing our trouble to God. And this is why the book of Psalms is so important, because it teaches us how to pray, how to go to God, and how to address the Lord. Well, David addresses him three ways here. Jehovah, Adonai, Jehovah, Elohim. And so, Lord, Lord, and Lord my God. Now, personal relationship in prayer. All right, so three headings. A prayer for removal of his sickness, of his the consequences of his sin. A prayer for submission, accepting God's punishment for his sin, and a prayer for hope, looking to the Lord, anticipating help from the Lord. And basically, this is how we as Christians are. We sin against God. God punishes us because of our sin. We accept the Lord's punishment in repentance. We return to the Lord. We bear the consequences of sin, and yet we look unto the Lord. We hope for God's cleansing and God's help. And the Lord is always faithful and just to forgive us of our sins when we confess our sins, forsake them, when we go to God in sincere prayers, asking for God's mercy. He's always there. He's always faithful to forgive. So let's look at the psalm in its particulars now. A psalm of David to bring to remembrance. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. This psalm is a personal psalm of lament, and it joins other psalms of lament that we've seen already. We saw Psalm number 6, we saw Psalm number 31, and now we see Psalm number 38. Another psalm of lament would be Psalm 51 in the future. We'll be looking at that. We find David sorrowing because of sin. Let me say it like this. Sorrow always follows sin. Sorrow always follows sin. Thine arrows, verse 2, stick fast in me. Thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. So David experienced the unrest in his body because of God's curse upon him because of his sin. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. David felt his sickness in his body, in his flesh, in his bones. He's very descriptive in this psalm. It goes on. Verse number 4, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. The heaviness of sin, the consequences of sin. I don't think any man can bear that. You know, may kasabihan tayo, no? Na pag yung taos nasosobrahan sa kasalanan, nakikita yan sa kanyang katawan, nakikita yan sa kanyang mukha, nakikita yan sa kanyang kalusugan o kawalan ng kalusugan. You know, some people look a whole lot more older than they really are, probably because of sin. And verse number 5, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. Isn't it interesting how David calls his sin what it is? Foolishness. I am troubled, verse 6. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. I'm sure David didn't think how terrible sin would take him, how far sin would take him. But he goes mourning all the day long. People never think of the consequence of sin. When you sin, you think, oh, this is pleasurable, this is joyful. But what about the results of sin, the consequence of sin? Verse number 7, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I'm sure David acquired some disease, a loathsome disease, as he committed adultery with Bathsheba. 2 Samuel chapter 11, just read that account. I am feeble and sore, verse number 8, sore broken. I have roared by reason of my disquietness of my heart. What a description. A perfect description of what sin can do to the body. I'm not saying if you're sick, you're in sin. But if you are sick, it's a result of sin. And but one thing we can do, we can go to God. And David does. He looks to the Lord and he prays for God to get rid of this loathsome disease. Verse number 9, we move on to David accepting the consequence of his sin and also the forsaking of friends and the despising of his enemies. And then here in this section between Psalm 38 verse 9 to 14, here David amazingly shadows Jesus Christ and how Jesus suffered on the cross and was forsaken by friends and was mocked by enemies. So there's some interesting shadows of Christ in the sufferings of David. Verse number 9, O Lord, all my desire is before thee. My groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth. My strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. His eyes were affected, his vision. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore. My kinsmen stand afar off. You talk about social distancing. Boy, they stayed away from David because they didn't want to get infected. Boy, they and what a picture of Christ in being forsaken by all. Go over to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Now, David's experience was like he was a leper. And back in those days, it's not just a respiratory viral infection. It was leprosy. It was the infection of the body where the skin and the organs and the tissues are being destroyed. Let's look at Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 49. Luke 23, verse 49. All his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. So when Jesus was suffering on the cross for our sin, he too experienced no one coming to him to help him, being forsaken by his friends, everyone standing afar off. And David experienced that here. Jesus experienced that on the cross. And so, you know, we should be praying for those who have been infected by the virus, and they have to isolate. They have to quarantine themselves and stay afar off so that they don't infect others or whatever. There's a period of infection when you are infected by the virus, and it's not just the COVID virus. This is true for any virus, flu and all that, especially when you're feverish, you are very infectious, you know. But after a number of days, if you survive, after a number of days, you are no longer infectious. Okay. In fact, then your body has developed antibodies, etc., for natural immunity. Anyway, but there is a period of time where people quarantine, because after the quarantine period, they are no longer infectious. And so David, it was the same with David. My friends stood afar off because he didn't want them to be infected or whatever. And so, but verse number 12, they also that seek my life lay snares for me. So it's not just that his friends were gone, but his enemies strike at that time. Terrible, isn't it? I mean, when it rains, it pours. So they also seek after my life, lay snares for me. They that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not. I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Did David retaliate? No, he did not retaliate. Tinanggap ni David ang sumpa ng Diyos sa kanya dahil sa kanyang kasalanan. So, bagamat lahat ng kanyang mga kaibigan iniwan siya, at lahat ng kanyang mga kaaway ay nagpaplano kung paano siya sakupin, pinabayaan ni David. Inilagay ni David sa kamay ng Diyos ang kanyang pangangailangan. David went to God and trusted the Lord to take care of the enemies that he can't take care of because of his sickness. Verse number 14, thus was I as a man that heareth not, in whose mouth are no reproofs. Again, a picture of Christ. You remember when Jesus was suffering on the cross for us, he opened not his mouth. It says in the book of Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. It's amazing how David foreshadows the suffering of the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 53. Look at verse number 7. Isaiah 53 and verse number 7. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. David, at the same time, didn't do a thing except pray and commit to God his situation. And that's what we should be doing as well. All right, verse number 15, last section here to verse number 22, a prayer for hope. Again, David turns to the Lord. And so verse 15, for in thee, O Lord, that's O Jehovah, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. What a refreshing break of this terrible psalm in a sense of it's sickness and sin, judgment. And then he turns to the Lord. O Lord, I hope in you. And O Lord my God, thou wilt hear, a personal relationship with the Lord. Jehovah Elohim. And verse 16, for I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me when my foot slippeth. They magnify themselves against me. Lord, hear me. Lord, intervene in my situation. Lord, come into my helplessness. Lord, bless me. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. And that this is David and his worship, prayer, confession, and acknowledging the Lord. Verse 17, for I am ready to halt. My sorrow is continually before me, for I will declare mine iniquity. Verse number 18, what should we do with our sin? We ought to confess it before the Lord. Verse number 18, for I will declare mine iniquity. I'm not going to hide it. David tried to hide it. David tried to sweep it under the rug, so to say. Until the prophet Nathan, the man of God, pointed his finger at David and exposed David. Because you can't hide sin from God. And David, rather than continually rebelling against the Lord and hiding his sin and running away from God, he confesses his sin before the Lord. Verse number 19, but mine enemies are lively and they are strong. And they have hate me wrongfully, are multiplied. They that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. Verse 20, they also render evil for good in mine adversaries because I follow the thing that good is. Verse 21, forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. What a prayer. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation, my deliverer. Lord, you are my salvation and my deliverer. I tell you, the book of Psalms teaches us how to pray, how to go to God. David knew that if God doesn't help him, if God doesn't step in to forgive, he would die. But did God step in? Did God intervene? Did God forgive David? And did God extend David's life? Absolutely. In the time that he sinned against Uriah and Bathsheba, he was probably around 25 to 30 years old. And yet we know, according to the book of 2 Samuel and other passages of Scripture, he goes on to rule for another 20 some odd years. So he died, you know, he ruled for 40 years, basically. So God extended his life. We know that God steps in and forgave him. God intervened for David, cleansed him, restored him, and blessed him. David ruled for many more years. This is the mercy of God when we confess our sin and ask him for cleansing. God is always faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Pray for mercy. Here's the lesson. Pray for mercy in the midst of God's judgment. I have no doubt that this pandemic is a judgment from God. I have no doubt. When I look at how sinful the world is, when I think about how wicked mankind is and how evil that man can treat another man or even the unborn, how sick and sinful human humans can be towards one another and towards the Lord God Almighty, our Creator. I have no doubt that we are in the midst of God's judgment, but I also know that we can pray for mercy in the midst of God's judgment. And God wants us to turn to Him. God wants us to look to Him and to hope in Him. And so David here teaches us this great truth. Let's look at two more verses here. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Kaya kahit na nasa gitna tayo ng hatol ng Diyos, pwede tayong manalangin at humingi ng tulong sa Diyos. At ang Diyos ay palaging handa na magpatawad, palaging handa na linisin ang ating kaluluwa, linisin ang ating espiritu, linisin ang ating pagkakasala. Kung tayo ay tunay na nagsisisi at sumasampalataya sa Panginoon at humingi ng kalinisan. Luke chapter 15, verse number 10. Luke 15, verse number 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You know, repentance brings joy in the presence of the angels of God. Well, who is at the presence of the angels of God? It's God. God is in the presence of the angels. And there's joy in heaven when we repent. So who is rejoicing in the presence of the angels when a sinner repents? God. You want to bring a smile to God? Repent of your sin. It brings joy to God when we repent. One more verse, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, this is for the born-again believer. This is for those who know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you no longer are a sinner. You still are a sinner. The difference is you are a forgiven sinner. We are forgiven sinners. We're not unsaved sinners. We are forgiven sinners. But if you are a sinner, you need cleansing. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you're born again saved, you don't need to get saved again. You don't need Him to save you again, but you need Him to clean you up over and over and over again. And God is faithful to do that if we truly repent and forsake our sin and go to God and ask Him to intervene in our situation. I'm thankful for Psalm 38. Psalm 39 similar, but we'll get to Psalm 39 next Wednesday as we race through finishing book one of the book of Psalms. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless. And thank you for listening. Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask, God, that you would cleanse us, Lord. You would forgive us. You would intervene in our helplessness, that you would be glorified and magnified in our midst, Lord, as we deal with sin and sickness in our own lives, as we deal with our personal lives, as we look at our national calamity, Lord, and we look at the pandemic, Lord, and we look at natural disasters and all these judgments that come from you, Lord. We ask, Father, for mercy in the midst of judgment because of Jesus Christ, Lord, in His name. So, Lord, we pray that your word would do the work in our hearts. We receive your word, Lord, and we desire to honor you by living the principles and practicing the principles we learn here in the scriptures tonight. We ask your blessing upon us, Lord, undeserving as we are. We know we can ask because of Jesus and His precious blood. And we ask these things in His name. Amen and amen.